morning of May 29th, 1953, two men, Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay, his Sherpa, climbed the top of the world. They were the first to reach the top of Mount Everest. Great feat, something that many have done since then. In Genesis chapter 22, we're going to read about two men who also climbed a mountain. No two men had ever climbed this mountain. A mountain that would be harder, a mountain that would be steeper, a mountain that would be costlier as these two men climbed. Few men have ever done that. Few men have had the faith to climb this mountain. In fact, there's no higher mountain than Mount Moriah except one, and that is Mount Calvary. And today we're going to see great parallels between Mount Moriah and Mount Calvary. As Abraham followed God and his experience with God the Father, so the Lord Jesus Christ went to Mount Calvary. And we're going to see great lessons from what he experienced with his Father. Have you ever thought that God is asking too much of you? Have you ever said, God, I can't do this. I can't handle this. God, I want to quit. Well, we've all asked that question of God. Probably many of you have asked that recently. Do you know that Lord Jesus himself asked that question in his own way, in his own terms, as he was approaching the cross? So it's something that we all face, that we all endure. And today, I want us to learn some lessons from God's Word about what we're to do when God, it appears that God is asking too much of us. If you will, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, and I want to read these verses concerning Abraham. And for those who are guests, we're going through the Bible, and we're ending today the first section of this study called In the Beginning. We started with creation, and we have seen that God is the creator God, but God is also the redeemer God. And probably the best picture that we see of God's salvation history being laid out before us is in this chapter. So it's fitting that we end this section with Genesis 22. The Bible says this: after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am, he answered. Take your son, he said, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Now remember, Isaac is this promised child. Isaac is this heir of the promise that God has given to Abraham, who for many years he and Sarah could not have children. And so now God is asking him to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah. Now, Mount Moriah is a very special mountain. At this period of history, there is nothing there but the mountain. It's just a hillside there, as we see in the land of Canaan. And there's no city there. There is no village there. Eventually, there'll be a group that settles there known as the Jebusites. And they are in a town that will eventually become the city of Jerusalem as we know it today. There, then, is this mountain in Jerusalem, Mount Moriah. Now, we don't know exactly if this is the point of where the mountain is, because he talks about a mountain range. But many scholars believe that this Mount Moriah is where the Temple Mount is. And if there, very close by, is where the Lord Jesus Christ himself was crucified, the Muslims believe this is where Abraham attempted to sacrifice Isaac. Again, they believe that he is the father of their religion. And so they have built the mosque there, the Dome of the Rock, there on what they believe is Mount Moriah. It's very significant. I don't have time to get into all the detail of that. Hopefully in your Bible study classes you can. But that's the context of what is taking place. And the place. So early in the morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship, and then we'll come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand he took the fire and the sacrificial knife, and the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, "My father." And he replied, "Here I am, my son." Isaac said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Then the two of them walked on together. When they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He replied, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me." Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by his horns in the thicket. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. Now, several lessons that we're going to learn from Abraham's faith that I believe will encourage us and empower us to be men and women of faith that will pass the test. The first thing I want you to notice is that, very simply, you will be tested by God. If you mean what we sang a few minutes ago, that you've decided to follow Jesus, believe me, it's more than a decision. It is a commitment to follow Christ. Then you will be tested by God. So don't be afraid of that. Don't be scared by that. Don't be surprised by that, because God is going to test us often as it relates to the measure of our faith. Now, verse 1 says, "After these things, God tested Abraham." His test did not come out of the blue. It was after these things. What things would that be? Well, all the things in Abraham's life that led up to this point, especially to the point of Hagar and Ishmael. So time and time again, since the beginning of his call when he was in Haran, and God calls him out of Haran to go to a place that he does not know where he's going, which will eventually be Canaan, Abraham is tested over and over again and faced each of these challenges with great faith. Now it was time to tackle Moriah and surrender once again. And that's the real point of the test for Abraham, is coming to another place, another area of his life where he must surrender to God. Although this was Abraham's test, this chapter shows us a lot about how God felt toward Abraham. Although Psalm 22, Psalm 69, Isaiah 53 show us a lot about how God felt toward his son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, perhaps no chapter shows it greater than Genesis chapter 22 of how God felt about his son, Jesus Christ. Notice verse 2. "Take your son," he said, "your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." All that Moriah meant to Abraham in terms of agony, of heartache and pain, multiply that by 10,000, what Calvary meant to God. Now the Bible says that God tested Abraham. It was a test that God had prepared for him. All of our tests have been prepared by God for us. The word test can also be translated tempt. Your translation may say that God tempted Abraham, which begs the question, does God tempt us? Does God lead us to a place of temptation? Well, isn't that what Jesus prayed in the model prayer? Lead us not into temptation. That's really better understood as, don't abandon us at the place of temptation. Lead us to the point of being able to get through this place of temptation, is what Jesus really means when he's saying that. Now, how do we know that? Because of what James chapter 1, verse 3, as we think about God tempting us. No one undergoing a trial should say, "I am being tempted by God." For God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. God does not tempt anyone. Satan is the tempter. Matthew 4:3, Matthew writes, Then the tempter approached him, that is Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 3:5, Paul says to the Thessalonians, the tempter had tempted you. So God will test us to reveal our good. Satan will tempt us to reveal our sin, our evil, and often it is at the same place of the trial, of the challenge, of the test. And what happens? We decide which way it's going to go. Is this testing my faith, showing the measure of my faith, like it was for Abraham? Or is this revealing to me, as Satan tempts me to do wrong, two voices I'm hearing? And that other voice is telling me to go a different path, a different way. It reveals the sin that's in our heart. And notice this test was not sudden. It wasn't all of a sudden. It wasn't random. Because the word Moriah means foreseen by God. It's not the mountain that was foreseen by God. It was what was going to take place on the mountain that was foreseen by God. Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden was not a surprise to God. God knew that was going to happen. It wasn't a surprise to him. Now, we all wear watches, and those watches, the purpose of the watch is simply to tell time. Now, that watch may run slow, it may run fast, it may even stop, but the designer of that watch has created it so that there is a mechanism by which I can reset that watch or I can rewind that watch, just like we all did either this morning or last night before I went to bed. That's what I did with my watch, is I reset it for this morning. And so when we think about man, man's purpose is to glorify God. And God foresaw that Adam was going to sin in the Garden of Eden. So when he planned creation, he also planned redemption at the same time. How do we know that? Because of Revelation 13:8. The Bible says that Jesus, as the Lamb of God, was slain before the foundation of the world. Before anything ever was, God knew that his Son, Jesus Christ, would come to earth, born of a virgin, live a sinless life, die as the sacrifice for the sin of man, knowing that because of Adam sinning. God knew what was going to happen on Moriah, and he told Abraham to go there. And God knows what is going to happen at the place where you're going to be tested. And God is saying, I want you to go there. You're questioning, are you supposed to be here? And God is saying, yes, you are. And I knew that you would be here, and I'm here. It's no surprise to him. Now here's the point. You will be tested by God. You will face your Mount Moriah, and God wants you to climb it. He wants you to embrace it, and he will help you endure it. Notice, secondly, you can also trust God. Abraham learned to trust God when he was tested by God. He knew God was dependable. He knew God was trustworthy. How could he trust God when he asked him to sacrifice his son? It seems too much. How could Abraham know to do that? Because of what Hebrews 11 tells us, verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was offering up his unique son, about whom it had been said, "In Isaac your seed, Jesus, will be called." He considered God, Abraham did, to be able to even raise someone from the dead, from which he also got him back as an illustration. At this point, somehow, the writer of Hebrews says that Abraham knew of a future resurrection of the Messiah, which helped him sacrifice his son, knowing that God would bring him back from the dead. In that confidence, he trusted God and obeyed God during the test. Now, what did Abraham learn by trusting God? Very quickly, three things. Number one, he learned the way of God. Verse 3. So early in the morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, and took him with two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about. So notice Abraham moved to the place. Verse 3. Early in the morning, Abraham set out to go to the place. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place. Verse 9. He arrived, or they arrived, at the place. This was a very significant place in Abraham's life. In Luke 23, verse 33, the Bible says, "When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him." Abraham traveled the way of God just as the Lord Jesus Christ traveled the way of God. Abraham took his son Isaac and two young men to a point where those two men could no longer go. And he says to stay here. You cannot go any further than this. In Mark chapter 14, the Bible records, he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and horrified. Then he said to them, "My soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake." Then he went a little farther, fell to the ground, and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. "God, this is too much. I'm willing, but it's too much." There came a point where Peter, James, and John could not go any further. Jesus went alone with his Father. God is with you as you go to the place of testing. Abraham learned that the way of God leads to a place of surrender. His way may seem strange, but it'll be the right place. Remember what Jesus said, "I am the way which leads to the truth and the life." Proverbs 14:12 says, "On the other hand, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is destruction." There's only two ways, God's way or the enemy's way. He also learned, secondly, the word of God. Verse 6, "Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it upon his son Isaac. In his hand he took the fire and the sacrificial knife, and the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, 'My father.' And he replied, 'Here I am, my son.' Isaac said, 'The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham answered, 'God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.'" And therein is the word. The young men are left behind. The full weight of the wood was now felt by Isaac. The wood was getting heavier each step of the way as he climbed Mount Moriah. Isaac saw the knife, he saw the fire, but where's the lamb? The weight he felt was his cross. He was carrying a load that was placed on him by somebody else. Where's the lamb? Abraham was ready. God himself will provide the lamb. He didn't know how, he didn't know when, but he knew that he would. The Bible says, "Then the two of them walked on together." What was Abraham thinking as he now takes his son and climbs the mountain, knowing what's about to happen? Probably a sentence in his heart said, "If only I could die for you. If I could face this sacrifice, not you." Can we not feel what God felt in the Garden of Eden? Garden of Gethsemane, excuse me, as he saw his son there. The two of them walked together into the arms of the mob. The mock trials, the spitting, the scourging. Jesus now staggering beneath the weight of the wood and even greater the weight of the world's sin as the Father watched. I'm sure, perhaps, that the words, "God will provide," rang out in his ears as on that day the angel of the Lord spoke to Abraham. God has given you his word, and he will provide for you. Notice also the work of God in verse 10. "Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. Only when that knife was raised did God stop Abraham." Who can measure what it cost Abraham that day to be willing to sacrifice his only son, this promised child? Think of what he saw in his mind as his son lay there bound on the altar. The memories of their relationship. This is not a 2 or 3 year old boy. This is a young adult. At least in adolescent years. He knew exactly, Isaac did, what was taking place. And yet he was willing to surrender himself to his father. Now he must slay his son. And that is the work of God. God saw his son like a lamb led to slaughter, laid upon the wood, and the spikes driven. Then God himself takes that great knife of wrath and lowers it into his Son. All the eternal hell of our sins that we deserved, but God placed it on his Son. That was the work of God. And that's what happened at a place called Calvary. Abraham trusted that place of his test. And you can trust God at the place of your test. Notice finally, you can find God's truth. Abraham's hand was stopped. God provided the lamb. Verse 14, Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." Have you thought about how Isaac responded? Here is a man who stood as though he was brought back from the dead, that his own life has been raised from the dead, as he felt in his heart. Imagine what he was thinking when he was bound, and all of a sudden, he sees the knife go up. Abraham hears the voice of God, and Isaac is able to look and see a ram caught in the thicket. Abraham unties his son. He goes and takes the lamb. And I'm sure, perhaps, that he went over and embraced that lamb. And then he watches that lamb sacrificed where it should have been him. Think of the emotion of that moment, the joy of his heart that God was faithful, the lamb was provided. There was no stay of execution for the Lord Jesus Christ as the Father watched his Son die for us. Now here's the truth about your test. God has provided, God is providing, and God will always provide. His grace is sufficient. When you think God is asking too much, you need to remember, you will be tested by God. You can trust God, and you can find God's truth. Now, those are the lessons that we learn as we look at Abraham, but really the lessons are about God. This whole story, we learn from Abraham's faith, but really we need to see the lessons about God in this event. First of all, God is leading. God is leading you, and God has led you to this place of testing. Jesus, the Bible says, was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness where he was tested. God is also there. He does not lead, then leave. You may be wondering, where is God at this place of testing? At your Moriah, God is there. Remember that God is working. God is working. He will help you. And when it's all said and done, God is faithful. You can celebrate. Listen, that's what we do every week when we come here. We celebrate God's faithfulness. Even in the midst of the Moriah, we know that God is faithful, that God will provide for us. But there's another important lesson that we need to get out of this. We're studying and learning how God will provide for us in the midst of our test as those of us who've already made the commitment to follow God like Abraham. But there's a world out there who is hurting, who is struggling. They're in the battle. They don't know what kind of battle they're in. They're in bondage. They're empty. They're desperate. They may look like everything is going well in their life, but there's no peace in their heart. On May the 15th, 2006, another man, David Sharp, climbed Mount Everest. He came down after making the top 1,500 feet and sat down underneath an overhang. Though most of those who die, over 200 have died climbing Mount Everest. Most of those die on the descent, not making their way up. And so he comes down. He can't catch his breath because of the altitude, 29,000 feet plus. He sits down to rest. His body is tired from what he's done, and he begins to freeze. As many as 40 people within a few hours passed by David Sharp. They thought he was dead and left him there. At 1 o'clock the next morning, a party came upon him as they were ascending the top. They walked over and saw that he was breathing, but instead of trying to take him down to get help, they continued to the top. Well, there was a great controversy that came out about the attitude of the climbers. Sir Edmund Hillary said this, and I quote, "I think the whole attitude towards climbing Mount Everest has become rather horrifying. The people just want to get to the top. It was wrong if there was a man suffering altitude problems and was huddled under a rock just to lift your hat, say good morning, and pass on by." I'm afraid that many of us are trying to climb to the top. We're so busy with our agendas that we don't see those sitting under the weight of sin. We say hello, we tip our hat, hope you have a great day, and we pass on by. When we have what they need, the Lord's provision, the Lamb of God, who will help them. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. There might be somebody here this morning who would say, "Pastor, I've come to recognize that I don't have that relationship with God. I'm not a true follower of God. And I want to know God." Well, it means recognizing that your sin has separated you from God. That Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross to satisfy God's wrath against sin, and to pay the price for you. He took your place. To know that He has been raised from the dead, He lives today, He wants to live in your heart. But it's a matter now of turning from your sin and turning from your way and turning to Christ and following His way. It's a matter of surrender. Once again, we see in Abraham, God is asking us to do that today, to surrender your life to Him. God will give you a new life. God will give you abundant and eternal life. God will provide for you. Just a moment when we sing, I'm going to ask you to come, and I want to help you make that commitment of your life to Christ. The many in this room who know the Lord, you're sincere in your faith and your desire to follow God, but you're at your Mount Moriah. You're at your place of testing. And you've asked the Lord, "Lord, this is too much. Is there any other way?" But I hope that today's message has encouraged you, just as the Lord was faithful to provide for Abraham. God will provide for you. As I said last week, it's not so much changing the circumstance, but changing you. Giving you His perspective about what you're facing. And to know that He was going to be there to help you and to provide what you need. There might be some of you that God is leading to become part of our church family, where you can continue to grow in your faith. You need to be connected. You need to belong. You need to know God's people and experience God with them together as we go through these tests, as we experience life's journey. We'd love for you to be a part of Linwood. There may be others who need to come and pray, or you want someone to pray for you. I hope you'll just take the step that God's leading you to take right now. Father, thank You for speaking to me. Lord, how You've reminded me of Your provision, that Your grace is sufficient, that when the tempter comes, Lord, that I am reminded that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Lord, I pray I'll be faithful. I'll pass the tests that come. I pray for each of these, Lord. You'll help them as they face their test. Lord, help these who need to make commitments now. Help them to take that next step of faith in their journey. In Jesus' name, amen.